This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to have the toxic traits conversation with a family member without destroying the relationship. A clear, practical process for one of life's hardest conversations. In short, after reading this guide, you will be able to have the toxic traits conversation with a family member in a way that is honest, structured, and relationship preserving. Prepare your core message and desired outcome before you speak a single word. Name specific behaviors, never character, using the family method from Say It Right Every Time. Set real boundaries with real consequences and follow through every time. Definition: a toxic traits conversation is a direct, structured discussion in which you name a family member's harmful behavioral patterns and explain their impact on you and the relationship, with a goal of changing those patterns while preserving the bond between you. There is a moment most of us know. You are sitting across from someone you love, someone you have known your entire life, and you are watching them do the thing they have always done, the thing that hurts people, the thing that drives everyone away, and you say nothing. Again, you tell yourself it is not the right time, that it will only make things worse, that they will never change anyway. So you go home carrying it, and the weight gets a little heavier each time. The toxic traits conversation is one of the hardest any person can attempt. It is not hard because people are cruel or careless. It is hard because family is different. Every exchange carries the freight of decades-old wounds, old roles, old love. You are not just talking to a person. You are talking to a lifetime of shared history. The fear is not simply conflict. It is loss. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for the toxic traits conversation that you can use immediately. I draw directly from the family method and the boundary method, which I introduced in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time, built specifically for the emotional intensity that family conversations carry. Why confronting toxic traits in family is harder than it looks. Knowing you need to have this conversation and actually having it are two entirely different things. I have watched capable, confident people go completely silent the moment a difficult family member walks into the room. That gap between knowing and doing is real, and it deserves to be named before we talk about closing it. Here is what makes the toxic traits conversation with a family member particularly hard. The history is longer than the problem. You are not just addressing one behavior, you are addressing that behavior in the context of everything that came before it. Every word you say lands on years of accumulated meaning, and that weight can distort even the most carefully chosen sentence. The rules are fixed. Family systems develop invisible rules about who speaks, who defers, who keeps the peace. Stepping outside your assigned role, even to say something necessary, can feel like a violation of the entire system. Love and resentment sit side by side. You genuinely care about this person. That care does not disappear just because their behavior is harmful. The result is a kind of paralysis. You cannot stay silent, and you cannot seem to speak. The consequences feel permanent. In a workplace, a difficult conversation gone wrong might create tension for a few weeks. In a family, it can echo for years. That fear of irreversible damage makes people hesitate until the dam breaks, and then they say too much in the worst possible way. Toxic traits in family members are rarely named clearly. The behavior has usually been accommodated, minimized, or explained away for so long that putting a direct name on it feels almost aggressive, even when it is simply accurate. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, name the specific behavior. You are not having a conversation about who this person is. You are having a conversation about what they do. Before you say a single word to them, you must be able to describe the behavior in one clear, observable sentence. You take over decisions that are not yours to make as a behavior. You are controlling as a character judgment. One can be addressed, the other only triggers defensiveness. Number two, know your desired outcome. What do you actually want to change? Not a vague improvement in the relationship, but a specific, realistic shift in behavior. If you cannot state your desired outcome clearly, the conversation will drift and likely land nowhere. The outcome must be something that other person can actually do differently starting tomorrow. Number three, decide your boundary in advance. If the behavior continues after this conversation, what will you do? A boundary without a consequence is just a suggestion, as I write in Say It Right Every Time. You do not need to announce the consequence at the start, but you must know it yourself before you walk in. Without it, the conversation has no floor. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Choose the right moment and setting. This step determines whether the conversation even has a chance. Before a word of substance is spoken, timing and environment are not minor details. They are the soil the conversation grows in. A toxic traits conversation attempted during a holiday meal, in the middle of an argument, or in front of other family members is almost guaranteed to fail. You need privacy, calm, and enough time for both people to speak without pressure. Choose a neutral, private space where neither person is on their own territory or work, a quiet cafe, a parked car. Allow at least an hour. Do not begin this conversation 15 minutes before anyone needs to leave. Do not choose a moment when either person is already emotionally activated, tired, or under pressure. Request the time explicitly rather than ambushing. I'd like to talk about something important. Can we find a time this week? Never attempt this conversation as an add-on to something else, such as after a family dinner or following an unrelated disagreement. Example: Sarah had been trying to address her mother's habit of undermining her parenting decisions in front of her children for 2 years. Every attempt started during a visit and ended in tears. Finally, she called her mother on a quiet Tuesday morning and said, "Mum, I'd like to talk about something that's been on my mind. Can we have coffee together on Thursday? Just the two of us." That one shift, choosing the moment deliberately, changed everything about what followed. The right moment does not guarantee you a good conversation, but the wrong moment almost always guarantees a bad one. Step 2. Prepare your core message using the clarity checklist. Walking into this conversation without preparation is like navigating a storm without a compass. You will be tossed by emotion and end up somewhere you never intended. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the clarity checklist as a 5-item pre-conversation preparation tool. For the toxic trait conversation specifically, it is not optional. Emotions will spike. History will surface. Without a clear message anchoring you, you will lose the thread. The clarity checklist covers your core message, your desired outcome, your supporting points, your personal motivation, and your listening readiness. Write your core message in one sentence before the conversation. The behavior I want to address is specific action, and the impact it has a specific effect. State your desired outcome in concrete terms. Not "I want you to be different, but I need you to stop offering unsolicited opinions about my marriage when we are in front of the children." Prepare 2 or 3 specific examples of the behavior. Do not rely on generalities. Clarify your own motivation. Are you doing this to punish or to repair? If it is the former, wait. Prepare to listen. Your message is half the conversation. The core framework, which I outline in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, builds every difficult conversation on 4 pillars: clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. The clarity checklist is your entry point into that framework. Get clarity first, and the rest becomes possible. When you know exactly what you're trying to say and why, the conversation has a center of gravity. Without that, it spins. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Open with the empathy bridge. The empathy bridge is the technique that makes the difference between a conversation that opens and one that closes the moment you begin. Most people open the toxic traits conversation by going straight to the problem. The other person hears an attack, their defenses rise, and within 2 minutes you're no longer talking about the behavior you're defending your right to have the conversation at all. The empathy bridge interrupts that pattern. It means acknowledging the relationship and the other person's experience before you deliver the difficult message. Begin by naming the relationship. "You matter to me, and that is exactly why I need to say this." Acknowledge what is real between you before you name what is wrong. "I know we have been through a lot together." State your intention clearly and early. "I am not here to attack you. I am here because I want things to be better between us." Then, and only then, introduce the subject. "I need to talk to you about something specific." Script. Using the formal script from Say It Right Every Time. "Thank you for meeting with me. I'd like to discuss something that's been on my mind. It's important to me because I value our relationship, and I want us to be honest with each other. I want to make sure we find a way through this that works for both of us. is now a good time to talk. The empathy bridge does not soften the message. It creates the psychological safety the other person needs to actually hear it. Connect before you correct. That sequence matters more than almost anything else in this conversation. Step 4. Name the behavior using the family method. This is the step most people either skip or get badly wrong. They either never get to the point, or they get to the point in a way that feels like an ambush. The family method, which I cover in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time, is a 6-step framework for navigating difficult family conversations. One of its core principles is this: acknowledge the history before you address the behavior. Family conversations are not clean. They carry weight that workplace conversations do not. The method accounts for the weight rather than pretending it is not there. Name the behavior, not the character. When you criticize my choices in front of my children, I feel undermined rather than you're a critical person. Use I statements throughout. I feel, I need, I noticed, not you always or you never. Be specific. Name a recent, observable incident rather than a pattern described in broad strokes. Keep your tone level, not cold, direct, but not clinical. Do not apologize for raising it. Separating the person from the problem is not just a courtesy. It is what makes the conversation survivable. When people feel their character is on trial, they stop listening and start defending. When a specific behavior is named, there is something concrete that can actually change. Step 5. Listen without defending your position. After you've said what you came to say, your most important job is to stop talking. Most people treat the listening phase of a difficult conversation as a pause before they continue their argument. That is not listening. That is waiting. Real listening, especially in a family toxic traits conversation, means allowing the other person's response to actually land, even when it is uncomfortable, defensive, or completely different from what you expected. Sit with silence. Do not rush to fill it. Summarize what you hear before you respond. So what you are saying is their point. Do I have that right? Do not match their emotional level if they escalate. Stay grounded. If they say something that feels unfair, note it internally, but do not react immediately. Use the 3-second pause. Wait 3 seconds before you respond when your emotions spike. Script. Okay, I hear you. So what you're saying is summarize their point of view. Do I have that right? Then wait. Let them correct you if needed. This alone can reduce the temperature of a conversation by half. After genuine listening, something shifts. Even when the other person is resistant or hurt, they sense that they have been heard rather than processed. That is when real movement becomes possible. This step is not passive. It is the hardest kind of strength. Step 6. Set the boundary and name the consequence. Naming toxic traits without setting a clear boundary is like diagnosing a problem and then leaving the room. The conversation becomes complete only when you state what needs to change and what happens if it does not. The boundary method in Say It Right Every Time covers 8 steps for setting limits with family members in a way that is both firm and compassionate. The 2 most critical elements for this conversation are clarity and consequence. The boundary must be stated in plain language, and the consequence must be real. State the boundary as a behavior. I need you to stop discussing my relationship with other family members without speaking to me first. State the consequence without threat. If that continues, I will need to limit how much I share with you. Do not over-explain or apologize for the boundary. Do not negotiate the boundary in the moment. You set it. They respond to it. Give them time to process. Do not expect immediate agreement. A boundary is not punishment. It is information. You're telling the other person what you need in order to keep showing up in this relationship. When you set clear limits, you're not pushing people away. You're teaching them how to love you and respect you. That reframe has saved more than one conversation I've been part of over the years. Step 7. Close with a path forward. A difficult conversation that ends without direction leaves both people in a kind of emotional limbo. Close with something concrete, even if it is small. You do not need full resolution. You rarely get it in one conversation. What you do need is an agreed next step, something that signals that this conversation was the beginning of a change, not just an airing of grievances. The closing is where you move from confrontation to construction. Summarize what was said and what was agreed. To make sure we're on the same page, we've agreed to specific behavior change, and we'll check in on this in a few weeks. If no agreement was reached, name that honestly. It's clear we're not going to solve this today. Can we agree to think about it and talk again on Friday? Express genuine care for the person. I value you. That is why this conversation mattered enough to have. Do not end on a sharp note, even if the conversation was hard. Follow through on whatever you said you would do next. The bridge method, also covered in Say It Right Every Time, is a six-step relationship repair framework designed for exactly this moment after the hard thing is said. How do you rebuild? Begin with acknowledgement, reaffirm the relationship, and establish a follow-up. A repaired relationship is often stronger than one that was never tested. Adapting this process for high-conflict family dynamics. Some family situations are not simply difficult, they are structurally high-conflict. One person may have a long history of explosive reactions, stonewalling, or drawing in other family members as allies. The core process holds in these situations, but the execution requires specific adjustments. Lower your expected outcome for the first conversation. In high-conflict dynamics, the goal of the first conversation is not resolution. It is to say the thing clearly, once, without being pulled into the old pattern. That alone is a significant achievement. Measure success by your own conduct, not by the response. Prepare for escalation and have an exit plan. If the conversation becomes verbally aggressive or completely unproductive, you need a script ready. I can see this as bringing up strong feelings for both of us. I'm going to step away for now, and I would like us to try again when we are both calmer. Then leave. Not dramatically. Calmly. Do not involve other family members as intermediaries. The toxic traits conversation must happen directly between the two people it concerns. Routing it through a sibling or a parent creates triangulation and almost always makes the situation worse. If you need support, get it before or after the conversation, not during it. Shorten your core message. In high conflict situations, a long explanation reads as an attack. Prepare a two-sentence version of your core message that you can deliver clearly, and then stop. Brevity is a form of respect in these moments. The core process holds. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. A mistake: attacking a person's character rather than naming the specific behavior. Why it happens. Years of accumulated frustration make it tempting to say everything at once, especially everything you've been holding back. What to do instead? Write down the one behavior you're addressing before the conversation, and do not deviate from it. You are toxic, cannot be acted on. When you make decisions for me without asking, I feel dismissed can be the mistake. Choosing the worst possible moment, such as a family gathering, a heated argument, or right before someone has to leave. Why it happens. The frustration reaches a tipping point, and the words come out before any preparation has happened. What to do instead? Agree on a time in advance. Request a private conversation explicitly. Never let urgency override timing. The mistake: raising the issue and then backing down when the other person reacts strongly. Why it happens. The reaction feels like confirmation that you are wrong to bring it up, and the desire to restore harmony is powerful. What to do instead? Expect a strong reaction. It does not mean you were wrong. Stay calm, hold your position, and name what you see. I can see this is hard to hear. I need us to stay with it. The mistake: stating a boundary and then not following through when it is crossed again. Why it happens. The consequence feels too severe, too uncomfortable, or you hope the single conversation was enough. What to do instead? Only state consequences you're genuinely prepared to follow through on. A boundary without a consequence teaches the other person that your limits are negotiable. The mistake: trying to have the conversation while you're still angry. Why it happens. The anger feels like momentum. It is not. It is fuel for a fire you do not want to start. What to do instead? Use the 3-second pause before you begin. If you cannot speak about the behavior without your voice shaking with rage, wait another day. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin, and after each attempt at the toxic traits conversation. I have identified the specific behavior I'm addressing, stated in one observable sentence. I know my desired outcome and can state it in concrete, actionable terms. I have chosen a private, calm setting with enough time for a full conversation. I have requested the conversation explicitly rather than ambushing the other person. I have prepared my opening using the empathy bridge connection before correction. I'm using a statements, not your accusation statements. I have 2 or 3 specific examples of the behavior ready, not just a general complaint. I know what boundary I'm setting and what the consequence will be if it is crossed. I have practiced the 3-second pause so I can use it when emotions spike. I'm prepared to listen fully after I speak, not just wait for my turn. I have a closing script ready, either for agreement or for deferring to a follow-up. I have decided that my measure of success is my own conduct, not their immediate response. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for one of the most demanding conversations a person can attempt. You can walk into the toxic traits conversation with a family member prepared, clear, and grounded, rather than reactive and hoping for the best. Preparation is not optional. Know your behavior, your outcome, and your boundary before you speak. The empathy bridge opens the door. Connect before you correct, every single time. The family method gives you a structure that accounts for the weight of shared history. Name behaviors, never character. One can change, the other only defends. Listen as hard as you speak. The other person's response contains information you need. Set real boundaries with real consequences and follow through without exception. One conversation really resolves everything. Measure progress in steps, not leaps. If you want to build the broader communication foundation that supports conversations like this one, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is a strong next step for developing the delivery skills this process requires. For a deeper look at the behavioral feedback method that underpins step 4, how to use the SBI method to give feedback that actually changes behavior applies directly to naming toxic traits with precision. If avoidance has been your pattern, why avoiding difficult conversations is the hidden enemy of team synergy names the cost of silence in a way that tends to shift something. For the full frameworks, including the boundary method and the family method in complete detail, they are in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time. The toxic traits conversation will not be the easiest thing you've ever done, but not having it has a cost too, one that compounds quietly, year by year, until the weight of what was never said becomes heavier than anything the conversation itself could have cost you. Frequently asked questions. What is a toxic traits conversation with a family member? A toxic traits conversation is a direct, structured discussion in which you name a family member's harmful behavioral patterns and explain how those patterns affect you and the relationship. It requires careful preparation, clear language, and genuine care for the person, not just the problem. How do you start a toxic traits conversation without causing a fight? Start by choosing a calm, private moment and opening with the empathy bridge. Acknowledge the relationship and your care for the person before naming the behavior. Use as statements rather than accusations. A script like "I want to talk about something because our relationship matters to me" lowers defenses before you get to the hard part. What should you say when confronting toxic traits in a parent or sibling? Name the specific behavior, not the person's character. Say "when you make decisions for me without asking, I feel dismissed" rather than "you're controlling." The family method in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time gives a 6-step structure designed specifically for these conversations. How do you set a boundary after a toxic traits conversation? A boundary is only real if it has a consequence. After naming the behavior, state clearly what will change if the behavior continues, and then follow through every single time. The boundary method outlines 8 steps for setting limits with family members in a way that is firm, compassionate, and consistent. Can a toxic traits conversation actually improve a family relationship? Yes, but only if both parties are willing to engage honestly. Naming harmful patterns removes the unspoken resentment that quietly corrodes relationships over years. Many families find that the conversation they most dreaded became the turning point that finally allowed real trust to grow between them. What are the most common mistakes when addressing toxic traits in family members? The most common mistakes include attacking the person's character instead of naming specific behaviors, choosing a poor moment like a holiday gathering or a heated argument, and failing to follow through on stated consequences. Preparation, timing, and behavioral specificity are the 3 factors that most determine whether the conversation helps or harms. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.